I will say, I don't think Dylan Gabriel should feel an ounce of pressure other than he's a NFL player. Like there's a specific amount of player that just I think everyone should feel because of the scarcity of jobs, the finite nature of NFL careers, how easy it is to get run out of the league, although I don't think most guys really understand that when you first come in the league. But I think Shador does come in with a bit more pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And also, we got to take in where they were projected or where they thought they were going to be. And this is not for Shador. This is more for Dylan Gabriel. If Dylan Gabriel thought he was going to be a 6th or 7th round pick this entire time, then he's lucky to hold a clipboard. And if everything in the world goes right for him, maybe, just maybe, he can be the once every decade you have a Brock Purdy or a Tom Brady. But he's not expecting that. There's no pressure attached to that. He probably... There's a real chance Dylan Gabriel had his next job outside of football already lined up before the draft took place.
You think he's doing the Krenzel insurance?
There's a real chance he has Phil Knight in Oregon already hooking him up with a job at Nike or something
like
that.
The amount of really good college, like winning college quarterbacks that turn into like great insurance salesmen. This sounds like a personal attack. I've just noticed like Krenzel was the first one. There are so many dudes that were really good in college but never made it in the league. They then just turn out and be like, I'm going to go into insurance and make a butt ton of money.
Also, Texas football has taught us that there's enough positions out there with really successful people with a lot of money that will just give you like $200,000 a year just because you play quarterback at Texas and they want you in their office.
I noticed it with people that played at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a thing.
It pays to keep paying.
Yeah, and I would bet Dylan Gabriel probably already had thought and lined up who exactly around Oregon was going to give him one of those jobs.
I don't really know what it pays to keep paying really means, but we're going to go with Demos in Shaker. Demos, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I'm from Warren, and Maurice Claret had a really nice car when he was in high school, so let's not, you know, get past that. But I want to bring up a dynamic that has not really happened in the NFL yet. And it's the impact and the interpersonal dynamics of what NIL means. Okay. Think about Shador. He's made more money in the past year than his rookie contract. Okay. So when he has to go up against all these linemen who from 6-8 years ago, who never saw a dime on that level, call it jealousy even, you know, because he's coming in rich. He's made more money maybe than some guys maybe are going to make in the next few years. If this line doesn't protect him, you know, if I were Shador, I'd be taking care of my line real good, because you have no idea that whole dynamic, how that's going to play out. None of these veterans have that. And you know there's a pecking order in the NFL. And Shador better watch out, because he, you know, his humility, the way he carries himself, he's got to go extra hard in that vein, or else there's going to be some guy on the defensive line is going to turn himself into a
Demos. That was over the line.
He did that whole ramp up just for that, didn't he?
I think he actually had that written down, like, do not forget that one.
By the way,
we couldn't let that one fly, by the way. I'm sorry. We loved the attempt because you played the game. We just couldn't let that one out there.
All right, a couple things there. One, the idea that, you know, first off, Shador's got Deion's money to begin with anyway. I'm not saying that's his money. That's Deion's money. But whether he played football or not, he was going to be generational wealthy and taken care of. But that's not the point. The point is, what quarterback enters the NFL without a lot of money at this point? Like, Dylan Gabriel was valued in his NIL with advertising deals and everything to have made over $5 million in college. Like, all these guys come in with a substantial amount of money.
And that means he's a diva. Apparently, if you have money from college, it does mean you're a diva.
It's just every quarterback comes in with a lot of money. These NIL deals are insane. They all make a lot of bank. Quinn Ewers, as 7th round pick, made how much money in his college career? We know Ohio State gave him $1 million.
It was $1 million the first year, and then
it only
knows,
compounded from there.
The next 3 years after.
It's a 7th round pick. And Dylan Gabriel himself was supposed to be a 6th or 7th round pick. And these guys both of them are worth over $5 million in NIL.
So we obviously have more on the Shador side of things. And just as a quick aside, some of the schedule leaks are starting to come out, and I just could not hate that anymore. But that's not what we're going to talk about here.
I saw the one for the Browns.
Don't care.
It's not reputable. We can't talk about it, but yeah. But you're not a schedule guy or what?
Oh, I just hate the whole thing. I hate and here's the thing. I hate how much people just, social media just loves the schedule leaks. And I just, It just misses me. It just goes all the way over my damn head.
So the best part about the schedule leaks is it's always radio people in different cities that get to be the schedule leaker, because usually it's connected to somebody in the NFL front office. Like a lot of the sourcing stuff when it comes to like injuries and everything, that doesn't come from people like me and you. But with the schedule leak, it always does. And I've thrown my hat in the ring for years. I want to be the Brown schedule leak guy. If you,
I don't think you've done the work. I don't think you carry enough water for this organization.
I want to be that guy. I know I don't. And my paycheck doesn't have a Browns logo in the top right corner.
Yep.
I would love to be. But that's why it's not Browns related. It's all NFL front office related. Now they make their connections. NFL front office, I'd love to be your Cleveland rep.
I would love to like set myself up to be the schedule leaker and then just sit on the news. Just not react to it in any way. Not tweet it out. They'll be like, oh, you must have missed the tweet. I sent the tweet out. I got like 100,000 likes. Like, what? What are we talking about here? And just lie and just never leak a damn bit of news. Never tell anyone.
Never tell anyone?
No, because I'm ethical. And the schedule leaks are unethical.
They're not unethical.
It's just
they're fun.
Oh, week 5 in Tottenham? Oh, wow. That totally changes the...
I liked it. How did you do a night show and not have fun with the schedule game? That was like one of my most fun nights of the year was doing the schedule game. You're in this time of the season, not much is happening, and then you just get to, I loved it. I had a blast with that.
Unless you are Ken and Anthony, who elevated the schedule game to a specific level, I think the schedule game is now hack.
It's jump the shark?
I not for Ken and Anthony, because if you create the bit, it can't be hack if you do it. Unless you did it like constantly, which they don't do. But I think other people saw Ken and Anthony make a lot of fun of it. And again, like when we all did it early, okay. I mean, we're 10 years into the bit now. Like if it's, no, it's I, this, I think, this to me is the same as like candy mock drafts on Halloween. Whoa, man, that's
candy mock drafts.
You guys nailed it.
This is NFL related. It's directly, it impacts a lot of people's travel, by the way. It impacts a lot of people, what dates and where they're going to go and what they do.
So finding out 5 days earlier than the entire schedule, that, how, like, what's the difference?
Oh, you're just talking leaks in general then. I'm talking about the actual schedule game. Like the actual, they tell us where we're playing and tell us who we're playing.
When the actual schedule comes out.
You're excited about that?
I don't think excited is the right word.
Okay, then.
But I go, oh, cool. Yeah, I like this. I don't like that. This is cool. This is not cool. And then I move on with my life.
I'll let you know, I once did get the whole entire schedule hours before everyone.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything with it. And I did sit on it the way that you're describing.
Yeah.
And
out of principle, or you just didn't?
So the only thing I did out of it, I'll let this out. The only thing I did do out of it, because the schedule releases at about 8 o'clock or so, and I went on the 7 o'clock hour. And I basically laid out the entire schedule the Browns were going to have and be like, just a hunch. Here's why this should happen. I was like Kornacki up there. I'm like, here's why this should happen. Here's why this should happen. I see week 11 against the Cowboys. I see week 5 against the Bengals because of this and this and this. And basically, I just nailed the whole entire hour because I had the whole entire schedule.
Did you let people in on the bit?
No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. I couldn't because it was not... I couldn't do it.
Oh, I think like 1% less of you right
now. There was
now.
Enough people that were tweeting
that
and being
was
like...
There
was enough
right
people
radio.
Tweeting, and it was enough Ooh. Of me being like, I really got that one right, didn't I? But like it came with a wink-wink, and I had, you know, like one of those type things. But no, I couldn't, because the way that I got the info was not on the up and up. It was not.
Well, but
it went out in my source immediately, and so I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to compromise.
After the fact, no one would have been paying attention if you were just like, hey guys, it was when
I just couldn't, because I was just so worried about compromising how I ended up getting the information. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. This is another piece of information proves you would just not last well in prison.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say why I'd be a bad priest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's not the most ethical thing that I did in the world. I was not very honest in that moment.
Not at all.
And I definitely did take my own personal gain over everything else in that moment.
Like, did you take victory laps like for weeks? Like, remember, guys?
No. And
this is the guy that got the schedule right before they released it.
Not at all. The beautiful thing about it, and it's why I remind myself constantly, no one cares if you get anything right, is because I nailed it for that whole entire hour. And it might have been like two people being like, wow, you had a lot of things right there, didn't you? And it wasn't even like you did a good job in that moment. None of that at all. So what I'm volunteering to the NFL front offices,
I will be your Cleveland rep. I will do this job, and I will leak them out, maybe one on the hour, by the hour. I can be your guy. I'd love to be that guy. But I want to do it on the up and up.
And then I'd call you out for it. I just have to jam you up for it out of principle.
No, I would be able,
a great priest because I'm very principled.
I'd be able to attach sources, and then you just kind of
so
put
you
it
just
out
be
there.
Like Steve in accounting for the Browns told me about this.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Why would I say my sources?
The guy,
all the people
job
that just say sources out
called
there,
scouting director told me this.
Well, no, it'd be funny as if I got it just very, very wrong.
Yeah,
because that's the type of thing that people do not forget. But they don't remember when I did the whole first hour. I just went on and I just laid it all out there. And it was like, if you're paying attention, you're basically getting the whole entire thing beforehand. And if not, that just sucks for you. And then we did the 8 o'clock hour and just nothing happened. We just kept it moving.
I think this was questionable.
I don't think so, really.
So I think this is a great day for Catholics.
It's very much tracks for me.
I think Catholicism has taken a big hit in the last 5 minutes or so.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
It really is like a cheat code to just making me laugh like an idiot because I immediately start smiling. And I can't even make eye contact because what you do is Peter Lynn like raises his chin and he's singing to the heavens and he's looking to the ethereal plane. He's seeing the old popes and he's waving and he's like, we got the young pope here. We got Pope Leo. We're in good hands here. And waving at him like it's Happy Gilmore waving at Chubbs in heaven. That's what you're like when you're singing like a majestic bird singing to the ether.
It's a long way up to those clouds. I got to get all the way up there.
That's true. You got to project.
Got to get all the way up there.
Like an opera singer.
Can't hear me if I whisper.
In case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.